Dr. Isra, kindly begin his address.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. Khususan ala afzalihim wa khatamin nabiyyin Muhammadin al-Amin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في سورة النور أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وعد الله الذين آمنوا منكم وعملوا الصالحات ليستخلفنهم في الأرض كما استخلف الذين من قبلهم وليمكنن لهم دينهم الذي ارتضى لهم وليبدلنهم من بعد خوفهم أمنا يعبدونني لا يشركون بي شيئا ومن كفر بعد ذلك فأولئك هم الفاسقون صدق الله العظيم وعن النعمان بن بشير رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تكون النبوة فيكم ما شاء الله أن تكون ثم يرفعها الله إذا شاء يرفعها ثم تكون خلافة على منهاج النبوة فتكون ما شاء الله أن تكون ثم يرفعها الله إذا شاء يرفعها ثم تكون ملكا عاضا فيكون ما شاء الله أن يكون ثم يرفعه الله إذا شاء يرفعه ثم يكون ملكا جبريا فتكون ما شاء الله أن تكون ثم يرفعه الله إذا شاء يرفعها ثم تكون خلافة على منهاج النبوة ثم سكت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رواه الإمام أحمد رحمه الله رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي Dear brothers and sisters and sons and daughters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's indeed a great pleasure and a real honor for me to be here with you this afternoon and addressing this huge gathering of the Muslims in the heart of this Western world. I am calling this place to be the heart of the Western world. It occurred to my mind this very morning that United Kingdom actually is situated on the globe, so that the European continent lies, the main bulk of it is to the south and east of United Kingdom, and the American continent, North America, is lying to the south and west of this place. So actually this country sits in presiding position in the Western world. Because of the limitation of time, I want to proceed with the subject of my talk directly. I have just recited an ayah, that is ayah number 55 of Surah An-Nur. Surah An-Nur was revealed either in the later half of the 5th year after Hijrah or in the beginning of the 6th year. And in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made 3 firm promises with the Muslim Ummah. Although these promises were conditional, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ Muslims, you have to fulfill 2 conditions. Number 1, to have real iman. Not only verbal attestation, real iman, conviction, burning faith, living faith. And then you have to fulfill the practical implications of that faith. If you fulfill these 2 conditions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises you, He will give you khilafah in the earth. Just as He gave the Khilafah to those who were before you. And every reader of Quran must recall the ayah of the Quran, Ya Dawood, inna ja'alnaka khalifatan fil ard. In the same way we shall give you Khilafah in this world. And second promise, we shall make the deen which we have pleased for them and acknowledged for them, it will be dominant, it will not be humiliated, it will not be downtrodden. وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمُ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ وَلَيُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا And the third promise, he will change the conditions of fear to those of security and peace. All these three promises go to make one promise. When there is khilafah for the Muslim Ummah, then there is no need for fear, there is security, and there is peace, and then the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is supreme. So actually these three promises were made, as I told you, in the fifth or the sixth year. And how soon they came true, just imagine historically speaking. In the very sixth year, the treaty of Hudaybiyah was concluded, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself said, Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. The very next year, Khaybar was conquered. The very next year, eighth year after Hijrah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his 10,000 companions entered Makkah victoriously. And within another year, the whole of Arabian Peninsula came under the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know, after that, within less than half a century, the system of caliphate, this rule of Allah on earth, that extended to a very big chunk of the globe, from the Oxus to the Atlantic. So these promises which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made to the Muslim Ummah came to be true very soon. But what happened afterwards? Now that nearly 1300 years have passed, what were the stages through which the Muslim Ummah has been passing? And where do we stand today? For that I have narrated to you a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It has been included by Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal in his Musnad. And the narrator, the reporter of the hadith is Nu'man ibn Bashir radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. I don't want to give the literal translation. I have read out to you the text, complete text. And I am now giving you the essence. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam enumerated five periods of time, starting from his time to the end of this world. Number one, the days of the Prophet himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. خَيْرُ أُمَّتِي قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. Second period, خِلَافَةَ عَلَى مِنْهَاجِ النُّبُوَّةِ. Please note the words. Caliphate on the pattern of Nabuwah, in the footsteps of Nabuwah, on the same methodology as Nabuwah, the same system, the political socio-economic system that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established in Arabian Peninsula. After a hard revolutionary struggle that was kept intact, absolutely intact, without any change during that period of Khilafah ala Minhaj al-Nubuwah. Then the third period, the Prophet calls him the period of cruel kingship. There were kings, although they were named Khulafa, but they built palaces. They had luxuries for them. Then the fourth period, which is very important, at least for the first period of kingship, the kings were Muslims. After all, they verbally attested to the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they accepted Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the messenger of Allah. But you know, later on, the Prophet said the fourth period would be ثُمَّ تَكُونُ مُلْكًا جَبْرِيًا. Kingship with slavery. And this is the period of colonial rule under which the whole Muslim Ummah passed. Some parts of the Muslim world were under that colonial rule for 200 years, some for 150 years, some for less period. But that period, you know, colonial rule, mulkan jabriyan. Now, it must be noted, as the brother Abu Talha was saying, although that period of colonial rule, direct rule has come to an end, we seem to be free. There are, so to say, more than 50 or 60 Muslim countries, free countries, so to say Muslim free countries. But actually, that colonial rule has not come to an end. It's still continuing. The only difference is that now we are being ruled and controlled indirectly. You know, we people belong to Indian subcontinent, and we were the British subjects for quite a long time. The king was here, but the viceroy was there at Delhi. In the same way, most of the Muslim rulers today are viceroys of America. They are controlling their countries according to the policies of America, according to the policies of New World Order. Our resources are being exploited by others. Our policies are framed somewhere else. So actually that colonial rule although direct rule has come to an end, it has not really come to an end. But you know the good news is that this will come to an end. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has prophesied. He said it will also come to an end. ثُمَّ يَرْفَعُ اللَّهُ إِذَا شَاءَ يَرْفَعَهَا وَهُوَ السَّابِقُ الْمَسْدُوقُ. He is the true one. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is a witness to his truthfulness. And when he says it will come to an end, it has to come to an end. And the good news that I am giving to you is, after that the Prophet said, ثُمَّ تَكُونَ خِلَافَةً عَلَى مِنْهَاجِ النُّبُوَّةِ. Then again there will be a period of khilafah عَلَى مِنْهَاجِ النُّبُوَّةِ. The same system, the same political socio-economic system, the same unity of the ummah, the same one leader of the Muslim ummah, and one caliph of the whole Muslim ummah. Not only of the whole Muslim ummah, but the whole of the globe. Because the second part of the good news is that the Prophet had said in more than one hadith that now when for the second time this Khilafah ala Minhaj al-Nubuwah is established on earth, it will not be limited to any part of the world. It will be global. It will be over whole the world of humanity. Because firstly, he was sent for the whole of humanity. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَّةً لِلنَّاسِ بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And secondly, he was sent to make the deen of Allah supreme. هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ. So this domination of the deen of Allah over the whole of human world, actually, when this is accomplished, only then the purpose of the advent of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be fulfilled totally. And this is to come, this will come. As the Prophet had said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is a hadith from Hazrat Saban radiyallahu ta'ala an, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inna Allah zawali al-ard faraytu mashariqaha wa magharibaha wa inna ummati sayablughu mulkuha ma zuyali minha. Rawahu al-Imam Muslim rahimahullah. Hazrat Saban says, radiyallahu ta'ala an, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala folded whole of the earth for me, so that I saw all the east of the earth and all the west of the earth, and take it from me, the rule of my ummah will extend to all the regions which were shown to me by thus folding the earth. There are other ahadith also to this effect, but I don't have the time to enumerate all of them. Now I want to discuss very briefly what actually we mean by khilafah. Actually, khilafah is the opposite or the antonym of sovereignty, because sovereignty of this universe belongs to Allah only. Whosoever claims sovereignty is claiming to be equal to Allah, to be partner to Allah. Sovereignty is for Allah. In al-hukmu illa lillah, amara Allah ta'budu illa iyyah. لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Kingdom of heaven on earth. You know this biblical, these words of the Lord's Prayer? This is also a gem of the prophetic wisdom. Kingdom of earth, thy kingdom come. Because you are the king of the universe. You have created this universe. Kingship belongs to you. Sovereignty belongs to you. Your will is being enforced in the heavens. Oh God, your will should be enforced on this earth also. This is actually khilafah. And all you know, all the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were the khulafa, because the commands of Allah were coming to them, and they were enforcing the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They never claimed sovereignty for them. They were not kings, although people know and people say that Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam was king, but no, he was not a king, he was caliph. Quran says, Ya Dawood, inna ja'alnaka khalifatan fil ard. You are Khalifa. You are vice president of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth. So actually, as Quran says, Ala lahul khalq wal amr. To him belongs all the creation and all the command. Who has created has the right to rule. Nobody else has the right to rule. Except a limited autonomy can be given. That all the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be enforced as such. Without any change. What to speak of 51% majority. Not even 100% of human beings can change the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But where there is no express command, no express order, you can use your best judgment. You can make ijtihad. So you can say there is a limited autonomy in this. but not the sovereignty. As long as I told you, the institution of prophethood was going on, every Nabi was the Khalif, was the Khalifa of Allah, was the vassal of Allah. As I have quoted the ayah, Ya Dawood, inna ja'alnaka khalifatan fil ard. Then there is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it has been reported by Imam Bukhari. Kanat banu Israel tasusuhumul anbiya, kullama halaka nabiyun, khalafahu nabiyun. The community affairs, the political affairs of Bani Israel, they were in the hands of the prophets. Whenever a prophet died, he was succeeded by a prophet. When Hazrat Dawood died, he was succeeded by Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. He was also caliph of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you know, the last personal caliph of Allah was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After him, no prophethood, no messengerhood, no personal caliphate. After him, this caliphate became the collective affair of the ummah. This is the Khilafatul Muslimin. Now the Muslims, as a community, because they accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as their sovereign, they are ready to submit before His will. So actually now they are entitled to the caliphate. And that is the promise that Allah made with the Muslim ummah. وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Here you know the pronoun is in plural. About Hazrat Dawood, Ya Dawood, inna ja'alna ka khalifatan fil ard. He himself was the caliph. Now the whole ummah is actually to become the caliph. And this is the concept of caliphate that has changed from personal caliphate to collective caliphate of the ummah. And this is the khilafa al-ijtima'iyya. Now, I must go to the second part of my talk. This caliphate, it cannot be established by mere wishing. We may be wishing it, it won't be established. It cannot be established by mere praying. Prayers are always accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you have done whatever you could do, when you have spent all that you had, and then you pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Oh Allah, I have done what I could do. Now the result is in your hands. Then the prayers are accepted, otherwise not. And I am saying one thing more. Even, you know, sacrifices won't take us anywhere unless the sacrifices are on the pattern of the methodology of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sacrifices also will go in vain. We have been seeing what is happening in the Muslim world. More than 1 million lives have been lost in Afghanistan. Where is the Khilafah? Where is the Islamic State? Still, you know, infighting is going on. Although I hope, inshallah, in very near future, there will be something good coming out of that land. The sacrifices will bear their fruit. But you know, the result up till now is very disappointing. Why? Because we are not taking to the methodology of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So caliphate cannot be established. Let me quote here a saying of Imam Malik rahimahullah. He says, لَنْ يَصْلُحَ آخِرُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ إِلَّا بِمَا صَلَحَ بِهِ أَوَّلُهَا. The last part of this ummah will not be reformed except on the pattern and methodology and on the lines on which the first part of the ummah was deformed. Now you know there is a relationship between that hadith and this saying of Imam Malik. The first part of the ummah was Khilafah ala minhaj al-Nubuwah. And as the Prophet foretold, the last part of the ummah will also be Khilafah ala minhaj al-Nubuwah. So that, what does it mean? That the same methodology will have to be adopted if you want to establish the Khilafah for the second time, which was adopted by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنُ مَجْمَعِينَ. The same methodology will have to be employed if you want to have the same result which we found by the sacrifices and jihad fi sabilillah of Muhammadur Rasulullah وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ. Now, I want to summarize in very brief words. What was that methodology? First of all, call people to iman, real faith, not verbal attestation alone. We are more than 1 billion today in this world who testify, Ashhadu Allah ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. But what's the fate of that 1 billion, more than 1 billion? We are 1/5 of the total world population. We have the maximum resources under our feet, a very big chunk of the earth under our feet. But have we any say in the global affairs? Does any power consult us in any international affairs? Our resources are being exploited by others. Why? Because we don't have iman. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in clear words in Surah Al Imran, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Don't be grieved. Don't be sorrowful. We promise you, you will be the supreme. You will be the highest. But only if you are real mu'mins. And we are not the highest, we are the lowest. What is it so? Although we are Muslims, قَالَتِ الْعَرَابُ آمَنَّا قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا. We are Muslims only. Legal Muslims. Because we testify. We say, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. But where is that true faith? Where is the burning conviction? Conviction of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Conviction of His unity. Conviction of His omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence. Conviction of resurrection. Conviction of life after death. Conviction of the institution of wahi. Conviction that Quran is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we search our hearts, we find something missing. We do believe, we do profess to believe, but that real iman is not there. We shall have to recultivate, rejuvenate, revitalize, revive that real iman, and the only source for that would be Quran. هُوَ الَّذِي يُنَزَّلُ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ آيَاتٍ بَيِّنَاتٍ لِيُخْرِجَكُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. It is He, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is sending down these shining signs of His wisdom and His knowledge, so that on His bondsman Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that He should take you out from all shades of darknesses. All these shades of darknesses: kufr, shirk, ilhad, materialism, all these materialistic values. Our, you know, what are the ambitions? Ambitions of this worldly life, luxuries, comforts, nothing else. All these are darknesses, these shades of darknesses, and only Quran can take us out of it. So a very popular movement of turning towards Quran and getting the real faith, real iman, burning faith, living faith from it, that is the first stage that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was doing for at least 12 years at Makkah. What was he doing? يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. So that was the first phase of his struggle. What was the second one? Whosoever accepts iman, or if he was a Muslim, he revives his iman. He renews his iman. And then you have to organize them into a party. There should be a party. There is a hadith from Haris al-Ashari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he says that the Prophet said, أَمُرُكُمْ بِخَمْسٍ اللَّهُ أَمَرَنِي بِهِنَّ بِالْجَمَاعَةِ وَالسَّمْعِ وَالتَّاعَةِ وَالْهِجْرَةِ وَالْجِهَادِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Now this has to be done. Organization, disciplined party. And you know the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, although he was messenger of Allah, and whosoever believed in him, he had to obey him anyhow. He was the Prophet. وَمَا يَنْتَقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. He has to be obeyed anyhow. But still, he took the pledge from Sahaba Ikram Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in of total obedience. Whatever I command, you will have to accept. You will have to obey. As you know, Ubadah ibn Samit radiyallahu ta'ala anhu has reported. He says, Bayana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala sam'i wa ta'ate fil usre wal yusre wal manshate wal makrahe wa ala asaratin alayna wa ala la nunazil amra ahlahu وَعَلَىٰ أَن نَقُولَ بِالْحَقِّ أَيْنَمَا كُنَّا لَا نَخَافُ فِي اللَّهِ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. We gave our pledge to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We shall obey every command that you give us. Although it might be difficult or easy. Although we might feel inclined to it. Or we might have to force ourselves to do it. Although you may prefer others to us. All these conditions, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam already got from them. And that is actually, that is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He has left for the ummah. Because when for the second time the struggle of establishing khilafah will be done, there will be no Nabi. No Nabi is to come now. No Rasul has to be sent now. So only some ummati, some of the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will take the lead. And then you know, you will have to give your pledge of obedience. But that pledge of obedience would be limited by the injunctions of the Sharia. And that is actually the only word is needed to be added to this hadith, and that would become the foundation stone and the constitution of the Hizbullah, Islamic Revolutionary Party, to be able to bring about that change and establish the Khilafah on earth. Now that's what the organization. And please note this hadith which I quoted. This is Muttafaqun Alayh. It is accepted by Imam Bukhari as well as Imam Muslim, rahimahumullah. So actually, that was the second step. And along with that, you have to purify your souls, your intentions. It should not happen that externally you seem to be making jihad for the cause of Allah. But within your hearts, in the bottom of your hearts, you are after some worldly gains. You want some name or fame, or some wealth, or some position of authority. Well, that actually will not take us anywhere. يُزَكِّيهِمْ إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَّا نَوَى. So that actually organization, training, purification of souls, that was going on for 12 years at Makkah. And side by side, during those 12 years, the most noteworthy thing is, which we must make very clear to the world at large, for 12 long years at Makkah, the order of the day was, take every persecution, whether verbal or physical, without any retaliation. No raising of hands even in self-defense. There was no permission to resist. What to speak of terrorist activity? What to speak of killings and bombings? No act of even, you know, retaliation. No act of even self-defense was allowed. You know, Hazrat Sumayya radiallahu ta'ala anha, Hazrat Yasir radiallahu ta'ala anha, both were martyred, butchered, tortured like anything, and then killed by Abu Jahl. And at least 40 Muslims were present at that time at Makkah. And please never have the idea that they were cowards. Ma'azallah, summa ma'azallah. But there was no permission from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You don't retaliate. Kuffu adiyakum. Keep your hands folded. Have sabr. Even the Prophet used to pass by them when they were being tortured by Abu Jahl. And the Prophet was saying to them, Isbiru ya ala yasir, fa inna ma'idakum al jannah. Have patience. Have patience, O Yale Yasir, because your place is Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take you immediately. Immediately when you die, you will be transferred to Jannah. Because Shuhada, they go directly to Jannah. As you know, we have, you know, in Surah Yasin, when a Muslim was killed and martyred, Qilat khulil Jannah, Qala ya layta qawmi ya'lamuna bima ghafar ali rabbi, waj'alani minal mukrameen. So that is very important. Because we are finding, you know, in many of the countries, our brothers, who are very spirited, who are very motivated, they are very sincere, I know they are very sincere. If somebody is laying down his life, how can we doubt about his sincerity? If somebody is ready to go to jail, how can we doubt his sincerity? If somebody is ready to go to any place of torture, how can we doubt his sincerity? But actually, sincerity alone doesn't guarantee success. Sincerity guarantees the reward in the hereafter, but not success. For success you must have sincerity and the correct methodology of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Unless both these things are joined together, we will not be able to establish Khilafah on earth. So we have to study the seerah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in depth and analyze it. And from that we have to take the guidance how to establish the seerah. We should say to the Western world, yes, we are fundamentalists. We can't make any bargain. We can't make any compromises on the fundamentals of Islam. We have to cling to the fundamentals of Islam. But we are not terrorists. We want to argue. We want to come to you with our arguments. Hatu burhanakum in kuntum sadiqeen. You bring forth your argument. We can prove our point of view. Because we can prove that the only just social order can be the just social order of given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because He is the creator of all. He loves all. Al-Khalqu Ayalullah. He can do justice to everybody. If the capitalists, they are thinking, they will think about their own interests, not the interests of the laborers. In the same way, landlords, they will be having their own interests before them, not the interests of the farmers. In the same way, men cannot think about women because they think about their own problems. Women can't think as a man. Because they have to see to their own problems. Only one, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because everybody is dear to Him. All are His creatures. the system that he has given, the law that he has given, actually that only can be the surety, can be the guarantee of justice to all. And let us see this to the humanity at large, that when we talk of Khilafah, we don't talk of Khilafah about the community affair, about some sectarian affair. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the whole of mankind. And we know, at least you know, the three Abrahamic faiths, the Jews, the Christians, and the Muslims, they should have no doubt about it. They believe in one Allah. They believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down His word to His prophets. All of them believe in all the prophets of the Old Testament. The Jews, the Christians, the Muslims, they all believe. They all believe that Torah was given to Moses alayhi salatu wasalam, and it contained law. And they know, the Christians also know, that Jesus Himself said, don't think I have come to destroy law. This law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which they call the Mosaic law, the law of Moses alayhi salatu wasalam. No, it's divine. It's not the law framed by Moses alayhi salatu wasalam. It was the law given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the same line actually is, which has come to an end in its climax, in the person of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sharia has become complete. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum, wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati, wa raditu lakum al-islam ad-deena. So actually we are working for the humanity. Muhammad came for the whole of humanity sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not for Muslims alone. But actually we are addressing Muslims to start with, because they profess that we are Muslims. Because they say they believe in Allah. Because they say they believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because they say that we believe in Quran. Actually, that is why we are addressing them. That you should recall what is your duty. You should be reminded of your duty as ummah. As Brother Abu Talha said, kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas, ta'muruna bil ma'ruf wa tanhauna 'anil munkar wa tu'minuna billah. That is the only cause. We are calling the Muslim to get together, to start a mass movement in the Muslim world, so that these remnants of the colonial rule can be done away with. And we are free to unite, we all Muslims. As Allama Iqbal, you know, the biggest, you know, philosopher of Islam, of this century, he said, ek ho Muslim haram ki paasbani ke liye, neel ke sahil se lekar tabakha ke kashwar. All these nationalities, ethnic differences, linguistic differences, you know, they should be cut short. They can remain, there's no doubt. But you know, you have races, you can have, وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُ. It's for only recognition, introduction, not for you, any division. The Muslim Ummah should be one, and they should establish the deen of Allah, because it is the mercy for humanity. Humanity is in search of its just social order, and we have that just social order with us. We are the custodians of deen of Allah, and that is actually the biggest gift for humanity from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which came through Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we have to do our duty, not for us, not for our end, not for our benefits, but the benefit of the humanity at large. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Because there's just social order. And let me point it out here, that according to the prophecies of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when this global domination of Khilafah will come, it will come by a concerted effort, by the help of Jesus alayhi salatu wasalam. Hazrat Masih will descend again. He was lifted alive to the heavens. He will come down and he will join hands with the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There will be going to be the biggest war of human history. And it is there in the tradition of the Christians also, and in the traditions of the Muslims also. You can read the last chapter of Bible, New Testament, Revelations. And you have the mention of Armageddon, a very big war that will be fought before the end of this world between the forces of evil and forces of good. And that is what the Prophet has prophesied, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in, you know, Kitabul Malahim, the chapters of Malahim in Ahadith, Al-Malhamatul Uzma. The greatest war will be fought between the forces of evil and the forces of good. Forces of Haqq and forces of Batil. This is going to come. And at that juncture, Hazrat Masih alayhi salatu wasalam and the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they will be together fighting against those who are exploiters, who are exploiting economically the whole of humanity. who are sucking the blood of the whole world, and they are becoming fatter and fatter and richer, and they are controlling the world economy through IMF and through World Bank and so on. Actually, they are the forces of exploitation. And against those, Hazrat Masih alayhi salatu wasalam, and when this comes, the Prophet said, Christianity would vanish, Islam and Christianity will join hand together, they will become one deen, inshaAllah al-Aziz. So actually it's a good omen that you are holding this conference here in the heart of the Christian world. But let me now complete. You know the third step I was telling. First of all, call to Iman through Quran. Number two, purify their souls, organize them into a party. And go on doing this, go on doing this, go on doing this. Extending your base, your organizational base, till such time that you are strong enough to challenge the evil forces openly in the field. If that time comes, up till that time, take all persecution without any retaliation. Must have before you the 12 years long period of passive resistance. Isbiru, have patience, be steadfast, show forbearance, but don't retaliate. No killing, no revenge whatsoever. But after that, when you feel, when the Prophet felt, he is now strong enough, he has enough number of men, they are committed, they are devoted, they love Allah, they love Akhirah, they are ready to sacrifice everything they have, their lives, everything. Then he threw an open challenge to the forces of exploitation of that time. What was the force of exploitation? I am using these words knowingly. Because Quraysh actually, the tribe at Makkah, they were exploiting the people of Arabia in two ways. In one way, the religious exploitation through idolatry. All the idols, they were present in Makkah, of all the tribes. So people came there to visit there. They brought gifts and presents. And all these gifts and presents which were presented to the idols, they were actually the revenue of Quraysh. They were using it. That was their source of income. That was the exploitation in the name of religion, false religion, worship of the idols. And number two, it was on basis of this privilege that they had, that they got the monopoly of the east-west trade, because no caravan could pass safely from the Arabian territory except the caravan of the Quraysh, because they were the custodians of Kaaba. And there in Kaaba were 360 idols. Every tribe has their god as a sort of a hostage with the Quraysh. If they harm the caravan of the Quraysh, then their god will be smashed. So actually both ways they were exploiting the peoples of Arabian Peninsula. Then Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam threatened them, threatened the lifeline of Quraysh, threatened their superiority in the trade. And that was the final phase of the revolution, revolutionary struggle of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That armed conflict began. Now Kufr retaliated with full force. First battle at Badr, then at Uhud, and so on. 6 years old war, a conflict, armed conflict. But then later on, Jal Haqqa Zahaq al Batil, Innal Batila Kana Zahuqa Bhai. Because this last step was taken after preparation, after training, after purification of souls, after teaching them and making them habitual to observe discipline. If prematurely this step would have been taken, it would not have become successful. So that is actually, if we analyze briefly, although I have very detailed videotapes on this subject, I have an Urdu book, a very voluminous book on this subject, but I had to summarize this in a few minutes here. And now I want to make another point, and that will be the end of my talk, inshallah. How are we to proceed today? Can there be any change? Should there be any change? Should there be any ijtihad in the methodology of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, keeping in view the conditions that they have changed? In many ways conditions have changed. My submission, humble submission, it's a food for thought. We should study. But we must make a firm resolve that we must focus our attention on the seerah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةُ الْحَسَنَةِ. This uswa hasana, it is in every respect of life, and especially the very mission for which he was sent, the purpose of his advent, لَيُزْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ. How could it be possible that he would not have left for us an uswa for that cause? The whole seerah is an uswa of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But you know, for the final step, there can be an ijtihad and there should be an ijtihad. Why? Because there is a change in conditions. The condition has changed, number one. At that time on one side were Muslims only, on the other side were kuffar, clear kuffar. So it was a clear cut division. Today we have Muslims on both sides. Rulers are Muslims, exploiters are Muslims. The American viceroys are Muslim. They are Muslim, and people who are working for Islam are Muslim. Legally they are Muslim. And al-Muslimu kufun li kulli Muslimin. Legally they are equal. Number two, there was no established government at the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Arabian Peninsula. Now you have the established system. These governments, they have armies, they have paramilitary forces, they have air forces, they have strength with them. So the comparison is very unequal. That is why we need some ijtihad. And the only ijtihad that I have been able to find, and because you know, the Prophet himself said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-hikmatu dallatul mu'min huwa ahqqu biha haythu wajadaha. Wisdom is like the lost property of a mu'min. He has more right over it wherever he can find it. So we can find that wisdom. I can quote two persons on this century who have shown us some light regarding that wisdom. First was Gandhi. He started the non-violent, non-cooperation agitation. And actually the Britishers, they know it, that the roots of British Raj, actually they were weakened through this non-violent, non-cooperation movement of Gandhi. The second example has been presented by Ayatollah Khomeini in Iran. They never revolted. They never rose up in armed rebellion. They came on the streets. They blocked the system. They were ready to lay down their lives. And they laid down their lives in thousands. And then you know, the despotic king had to run away. Actually, this thing we should keep in mind. But if there is going to be war, if there is possibility, that qital fi sabilillah is not haram. It is continuous. The Prophet has said, Al-jihadu mazin munzi yawmin ba'athani allahu ila an yuqatila akhiru hadhihi al-ummati ad-dajjal. This war, fighting for the cause of Allah, will continue. Nobody can forbid it. It will remain halal. From the time from the time of my advent to the time when my last part of my ummah will go to war against Dajjal, Al-Masihud Dajjal, that Armageddon, the Malhamatul Uzma, which has to come very soon. I am seeing it very soon. They said, إِنَّهُمْ يَرَوْنَهُ بَعِيدًا وَنَرَاهُ قَرِيبًا. Some people think that Qiyamah is very far off. I see it is coming very near. And these, you know, signs of Qiyamah that the Prophet has given us, they are coming one after the other. Actually, the times are very short at our disposal. Maybe there is going to be some holocaust for the Muslims also, just as these Jews had their holocaust in Germany. So we should prepare and we should have the, you know, every minute of our time. We should put it to use, maximum use. And we should follow the footsteps of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the last word, because the title of my talk contains Pakistan, the word of Pakistan. I have spoken up till now nothing about Pakistan. But because a brother also mentioned before, I think Brother Abu Talha himself, that when Khilafah, although it was, you know, a very weak Khilafah, it was a decayed Khilafah, but still, it was a symbol of unity of the Muslim Ummah. And the enemies of Islam were afraid of it. And that is why they, you know, forced the Turkish leadership of that time to abolish it. But actually, what happened, you know, when Khilafah was abrogated or abolished, there was only one country in the whole of the world where there was a movement, a resistance movement, a movement in which there was protest, and that protest was so strong that even the Hindus, even Mahatma Gandhi had to join Khilafah movement. What connection a Hindu has with Khilafah? What connection, you know, a Hindu Mahatma could have with Khilafah? But he had to join because the Muslims of India, because I found, you know, I am very thankful to these brothers, the workers. They have quoted Maulana Muhammad Ali Johar in this brochure. His wordings of 1924. He was the person who shook the whole of the Indian Peninsula, South Asia, with the slogan, Boli Amma Muhammad Ali ki, Jaan Beta Khilafat Pe De Do. And actually that was the slogan that was throughout the length and breadth of India. All the streets were going all for that Khilafah. So actually, I do have some hope, although this whole world belongs to Allah. Allah is the ruler of the whole universe. This Khilafah can start from anywhere. This can start from anywhere. But actually it is natural. It will start from somewhere, then extend to the whole world. It cannot come in the whole world at once. If even Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam couldn't bring it in the whole world at once, how can we bring it? It will emerge from some one place, and then it will go to east and west, and then will extend. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses some non-Muslim country for that cause. It's just possible. Hey, aya fitna-e tatar ke afsane se, paasba mil gaye kaabe ko sanam khane se. Maybe Allah rejects all us Muslims because we are decayed lord, and He gives the banner of Islam to a nation, in the hands of a nation who embraces Islam now. But if we see to the Muslim Ummah, actually I find that Pakistan was created in the name of Islam, although the conditions are very disappointing, but maybe we return to our goal. We are reminded of the main purpose of the establishment of Pakistan. I am working for that cause there. Pray for me and I will be praying for you. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات.
Jazakallah khairan, brother Israr Ahmed, for focusing on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and adopting his methodology in working to establish Khilafah.